You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in and listening. We are The Real Short Box. My name is Donald, and I am here with a delicious, decadent group for this podcast. We're talking Kevin, we're talking Chris, hey. And we're talking Big Sal.
Yeah.
In the house.
One quarter of us is high as fuck.
I don't know about that. Speak for yourself. Son.
Make your guess. Make your guesses now.
Professor Turner would never engage in cannabis inhalation. No, sir.
Not inhalation, no.
There's a lot of films that do, and they could or could not be legacy franchises, which is exactly what we're talking about today. We're talking about legacy franchises and what we feel needs to happen and what should not take place. What spawned this idea? Oh, you know, that movie The Crow, and that sequel that may or may not have already come out. We don't know. But let's just talk for a moment about this. It's not Brandon Lee, of course. It couldn't be. He's dead.
Yeah.
How did he pass away? Well, he was basically murdered, if you think about it. Sure, it was an accident. But,
pure negligence.
Yeah, it was negligence on set, and there was a bullet in the gun, and it fired and shot and killed him, and he bled out on set. Horrible, horrible day for the prop master. Horrible day for the family, Brandon Lee. Horrible day for anybody that invested money into the film at that point, because they thought that there was no way it was ever going to continue, that we get anything out of it at that point. And I can understand that from an investor standpoint, but from a humanitarian standpoint, my God, how horrible would it have been to have been any family member of Brandon Lee's family to have bore witness to it, or to at least have heard about it, and to have the repercussions of him having been essentially murdered on set. Horrible. Mm-hmm. So flash forward to 2024, and we have The New Crow, and it is starring Pennywise. Am I wrong here?
You're not wrong.
All right.
By the way, the character from It?
Yeah.
Yeah, the remake. Not, Tim Curry. It's Skarsgård, however you pronounce
it. I want to say Skarsgård. It's Bill Skarsgård, who played Pennywise, is now going to be the lead in The Crow. He's going to be playing The Crow. And what we were talking about earlier before we started recording, and Big Sal made a lot of sense with this. He said, why do they feel the need to always try to recreate the wheel when there is a mountain of source material, aka comic books, that James O'Barr had written, who's the creator of The Crow, by the way, and other writers have written about The Crow, and story ideas and concepts out there that make sense. Why feel the need to go back to the beginning when The Crow is a character that's reincarnated, essentially? Like they're brought back to life to avenge their death and the wrongdoing, the wrongful deaths of others, which is very ironic when you think about it. And let me just throw this idea out there. And I know this is going to sound crazy, and I know it's going to piss a lot of people off, but that's what I'm here for. You have The New Crow movie being about a crow that's brought back to life to avenge the death of an actor that was performing in a movie called The Crow that was shot on set wrongfully.
Are you serious?
The movie writes itself. Mm. Am I wrong?
No.
Now that's an Elseworlds type story. Don't get me wrong. And it's never going to happen. But if we pitch that idea without ever anything having happened to Brandon Lee, let's say that never existed, and we pitched that idea, somebody would go, that's pretty brilliant. I love that idea. Now you try to pitch that idea, that is not going to fly at all. Yeah, it's not going to work.
It'd be tasteless.
Exactly. It would be seen as tasteless. Yes, absolutely. But the concept of that story, it sounds like fiction, but it really did happen. So now we have to look at like all these other stories within the Crow universe and what has been created. And the beauty about the Crow is it's not just one character. It's like in The Mask. The Mask wasn't always the same character. The Mask would fall into the hands, not just Stanley Ipkiss, it would fall into the hands of other characters around that universe, within that world. And the unifying factor was the Mask itself, which is basically the god of mischief that was in that mask, Loki. And it would also be, I believe his name was Walter, who was a giant, like, Frankensteinish cretin that was after the mask, that wanted the mask for dubious means and could never get his hands on it. So that was a unifying character, was Walter, basically, and the masks itself, which was rather interesting. Now that, I feel, much like the Crow, if they take it and they reboot it, they don't have to use the same character. They can use different characters to tell a similar story, but they don't have to use the same characters. That's the beauty of the reboot within those worlds, but that's also a double-edged sword. Because if you think about it, every film, it's a new character that gets the mask and does something crazy, or is revived as the Crow and does something crazy. So there's this constant similarity that's happening. Do you think a franchise can survive something like that? Considering we only got 1.5 mask films and we got 2 Crow films, technically. I think there was more or something in there at some point.
Yeah, I think there was like 4 other films from the Crow, because there's City of Angels, and then there's Salvation, and then I think it's the Crow. I think it was like The Wicked, which had the dude that played John Connor in Terminator 2.
Jesus, really?
Yeah, Edward Furlong.
Yeah, I think he was in the last. The Last Crow before this one that's coming out soon. I've seen them all.
Yeah.
And the only one that I felt like that had true potential to keep it going was City of Angels. But it got weirder in that movie. Like, I felt like they were losing their direction with it, you know, cause it was a simple story from the first one, you know, like a couple that wanted to get married on Halloween, and then like some goons did terrible things to his girl, shot the dude in front of his girl while he's bleeding to death, and he saw everything that they did to her, and then they threw him out of the window, falling down to his death. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was heinous, you know what I mean? And then the Crow was like, I grant you, you know, your vengeance. You know what I mean? And then when you find, like, as the movie progressed, you know, you think that his job is done, when it wasn't, because it was actually a lot bigger, because somebody made that order to have him and his, you know, fiance get hurt. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So like from them going to that to, you know, City of Angels, where it was okay, but it was just getting weirder, where like, you know, he's like, you want my power of the Crow, and then all a bunch of crows came through him, and then, you know, killed the main dude. It just, I was like, okay, they're trying way too hard. Let's all you got to do is simplify this thing. It's real simple. So, but like I told you before, Donnie and Kevin and Chris, there is a new Crow comic. There, he's reimagined, and he has his own characteristics that's different from Eric Draven, right? That's his name. You know what I mean?
Eric Draven.
Dragon. You know, I love the first Crow. It's a cult classic, you know what I mean? But it's like, I feel like there's just certain movies that shouldn't be touched.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like Dune? Dune, like, man, I cannot watch the original. I don't know if you guys ever tried watching the original. Ugh, like recently.
I tried.
Dude, it's a little rough. Yeah,
it's rough. Now that we're seeing, like, you know, it's the same thing, but it's just reimagined with better technology, you know, different actors. And the guy that's directing the movie is going the right direction because everybody's talking about it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's what needs to be done instead of trying to remake it and take the same character and give them a different story. Shouldn't be doing that. It did that with right. RoboCop, and I hated that so much because RoboCop from the 80s is super untouchable. Even Peter Weller was in an interview stating to the interviewer, saying, like, you know, yeah, I heard that they're remaking RoboCop. And in my opinion, I'm not going to bash the actor or the director or the writer. All I will say is that I just believe that there are certain movies that shouldn't be remade and touched. And I totally agree with them.
What did Paul Verhoeven have to say about it?
I haven't heard anything what he would say, but, you know.
Oh, you don't speak to him on a regular basis?
No, I lost his number. You know, he wrote it on a piece of paper at the fair out here in LA one time.
Probably on one of those deep fried Oreo wrappers.
It was.
Yeah.
And then the oil just
happens all the time.
I don't think Sal's wrong. I mean, if you look at what they did to Star Wars, they destroyed Star Wars.
They trying to bring obliterated that back.
So I totally understand where he's coming from. They should just let things lay where they're at. Like
I'm gonna counterpoint that with Rogue One. Like Rogue One was a fantastic. And The Mandalorian for the better part of two seasons anyway.
I guess you know, prequels are a different beast, I think, a little bit.
I wouldn't say that they're prequels. I would say, like, it's just a story that's in the movie pieces, that we don't see it.
Yeah,
I like that because that's originality, because they're showing us a different point of view of what's happening in the war between the Republic and the Senate, what is it still called, or the Galactic Empire?
Yeah, and they've done that kind of thing within the world of like one-shot films as well, just regular movies. Like, for example, The Final Girl, I think is what it was called, did a whole story. And it did it in one movie where this girl had lost her mother at a very young age, but she would go back and watch her mom's films because her mom was an actor. And she would watch her films, and that's how she could revisit her mother at any time. You know, she could see her in the movies. And a freak accident happens in a movie theater where there's a revival screening of the original film with her mom in it. And somehow she ends up with her friends inside that film. So she gets to relive and see all these moments in between that you didn't see in the film. Technically, we didn't see them either, but you see the response of the characters and stuff. So it was very clever and very well done in that instance. Yeah. So, anytime you get something that fills in gaps in between, tells a good story, flushes out the characters more, and entertains, I'm all in.
Mm-hmm.
But it's tricky. It's not an easy thing.
I don't think it's that tricky. If you follow the formula to the T, instead of just trying to be like, oh, I want my watermark, you know, in this movie, you know, and then they're doing one change that ruins that whole movie. Like for example, Paul W.S. Anderson, he ruined the Resident Evil movies.
Franchise.
Yeah, the franchise. Like him doing, okay, if you know nothing of the video game, okay, I understand that you like those movies, cool. But I grew up playing all the video games from 1, 2, 3, Code Veronica X, and even the Outbreaks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and throughout that whole storyline, there's not a person named Alice ever mentioned.
There's Valentine.
It's just, you know, I just feel like if you just follow the formula and just, you know what I mean? Like if they took Batman, the animated series, Kevin, and made that shit live action, just do exactly what we saw in the animation and just make it live action instead of, like, you know, oh, let's tweak this here and tweak that there for my watermark. Like, they must not like money, is what I'm saying, and Warner Brothers or whatnot, because like I'm just, if they're so concerned about making money and making things right, all the animated stuff that we've had growing up in the 90s and early 2000s, just make that live action. Show me a live action Superman movie where he landed on Apocalypse and Darkseid raises, you know, like the what if.
Or might I add, show me more of, and they did this to a little bit in Man of Steel, and I thought it was phenomenal, and the animated series as well. Show me a little bit more about what took place on Krypton, you know?
Yeah.
I think they did that even with the sci-fi series where they tried. But show me all the action on Krypton first. I don't necessarily even need to see Superman for a while. If the story's there and the action's good, tell me the story of the mother and father and what happened to them, or the grandfather, or, you know, the council and everybody on that planet. There's a whole planet, a whole wealth of stories.
Yeah.
And to your point, Sal, I have a question for you. Did they or did they not? I thought they did. Did they create a Resident Evil television series? I thought it was for Netflix or something.
They did. And they still messed it up, bro.
Yeah.
Wasn't it called Raccoon City or something like that?
So the reboot is called Raccoon City, and they messed up all the characters of their characteristics in the, like, from the actors. Like, it was just so misplaced that I was just shocked in the direction that they went. Ooh. But the Resident Evil TV show that was on Netflix, it started out good, but then they just dropped the ball with just adding shit that was not in the video game. And it kills me. It simply kills me that, like, something so simple is right there, handed to you in a silver plate. They're just handing it to you. Like, hey, this is the story. Just give it live action and, you know, and great, you know, CGI effects. Like, make me believe that I'm in my video game that people have grown up and played.
I'll say this. I think that the animated films are pretty good.
No, the animated films are amazing. But that's the thing. The guys that are doing the animated films, they're making it in Japan. The American version of the movies, the Americans are messing it up.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's the problem. That's why
they're like, ship all our movies to Japan.
Well, it shouldn't even matter. If a person makes a movie based off of a video game, I feel like it's mandatory to make that person play the video game so they could understand it. You know what I mean? Look at what Heath Ledger did. He went to a comic book store and bought how many comic books about the Joker? Like, what was it?
I think it was two or three.
Yeah. Like, you know, he did. He was,
I have no idea.
It wasn't like two or three. It was like close to like 50 books or something from the Joker.
They studied the character.
Yeah. And then not only did he study it, but he threw his own flavor that, like, a lot of people are going to hate me for this, but I feel like him and Jack Nicholson are like neck to neck. And the only reason
I agree. I agree.
I cannot put one over above the other, because number one, Jack Nicholson, the way he did it, like, you know, where he was being comedic and sadistic at the same time, you know, being that, you know, that Joker version. And then you have Heath Ledger that's just like
the Chelsea smile.
Yeah. And it's just like, yeah.
See, Joker is interesting. It's kind of like, it's pretty much, it's like a Shakespeare, actually Batman too. They're like Shakespearean characters in a way. You can interpret them differently. Give a different interpretation and still it still be executed properly.
Yeah.
You know, Michael Keaton definitely loves Batman.
Interesting alternatives, you know, or alternative ideas, as far as like some characters, you have to stick to the formula. And if you go outside of that formula, it creates havoc. And other characters are just tailor-made to be given different scenarios. And I feel that's why we got a lot of what ifs and we got a lot of Elseworlds and et cetera, et cetera. And that's because those characters are iconic and you can throw them into any type of scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sure, like, if they did a What If the Crow or something like that, people could find interesting ways to explain how this character came back to life or something. You know, they could even have like Franken Crow, where somebody like took pieces of this dead person and created the crow. Or you could have where somebody reanimated an actual crow. And then that was the character. You know what I mean? So there are ways that you could do it. It's just people get in the mindset of a certain character and how that character has to act and be, that they don't want to see anything else. And when they do, it upsets them. So particularly with visual. If the visuals don't match, how many times have we sat through a Marvel film and went, seriously? This is the costume they're going with? Yeah. Like, what the hell? How many seasons did it take before we got a proper Daredevil costume?
The Green Lantern movie.
How many seasons of Smallville did we have to go through for Superman?
Did he even put on the cape? Or was it the last episode?
Very last episode, last like minute of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there we go. Yeah. That kind of thing, you know, that you'll, it just drives you nuts. And you're like, you have, again, to Sal's point, you have all this wealth of knowledge in front of you. You have this series and you're not going to go with that. Yeah. Why? Like they were going to recently Marvel announced a lot of cancellations. And right before that, they announced that the Silver Surfer is not going to be played. It's not going to be a female character.
Yeah, I heard about that. I was like,
and I was like,
oh, so the girl from the Queen's Gambit is not playing.
No,
Silver Surfer.
Yeah, no, like I said, like there's nothing against, you know, having a strong female, you know, character out there. They did that. They did it so perfectly in the 80s and 90s. Like we had Sigourney Weaver. We had
Linda Hamilton.
Sarah Connor.
Linda Hamilton. Yeah, I was about to say Sarah Connor, but that's Linda Hamilton. Even Jamie Curtis. You know, just there's multiple people, like multiple women, like Charlize Theron. You know what I mean? Like there's some badass women out
there. Lara Croft.
Yeah, Angelina Jolie. You know, like if they want to show women empowerment, give the women comic books better stories. I'm sitting like when I went to the movies with Donnie and we watched the Marvels, I was just like, dude, like this is a piece of shit movie. I couldn't, you hated it that much. I hated it, bro. Even when Donnie was laughing, because he loved the scene where like they went to the world of singing.
Great.
I fucking hated it. I was just like,
oh, Mr. Sal, you need to rewatch the movie.
No.
Rewatch the movie.
No, thank you. It's okay. The story was not strong.
The villain wasn't strong. I agree with that. But I like the way the three ladies interacted with each other. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, there's, like I said, there's certain things that are cool. But just because there's certain things that are cool in a movie with a weak story, it makes it horrible.
Wasn't the villain in that movie Tom Hiddleston's wife?
Yes, his girlfriend that they just had a child together recently.
Yeah.
Girlfriend. Yeah. Loki's wife or girlfriend? Yeah.
Well, a girl. Yeah.
You see, but look at what they're doing with Loki, the TV show. It's amazing. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't know what needs to be said to the Marvel heads to be like, dude, look at your source material. Mm-hmm. Look at all these comic books that are out here that have great storylines. I'm still upset what they did to my boy, the Hulk, in the Endgame.
Yeah, yeah.
How is it the device to snap the fingers going to hurt somebody that is made of that source? And I'm talking about Gamma. In my mind, when I was watching it, I was like, bro, we're about to get the glimpse of fucking Worldbreaker. Just imagine Worldbreaker versus Thanos with no Infinity Rings.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He would have got his salad tossed.
Yeah.
You know? That's what I wanted to see. No. We didn't get that because what did the Russo brothers say? Oh, we didn't know what to do with them. We don't like them. Scumbags.
Scumbags. What?
What about the Fantastic Four movie, Rise of the Silver Surfer, and Galactus turns a freaking cloud?
Yeah.
And then Green Lantern followed that recipe.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God, dude.
It's like no one learns. It took the Independence Day, you know, ominous cloud before, you know, the mothership comes. Everyone wants to copy that, yet you don't know how to do it correctly.
See, what makes me upset about it is that we in the end of the movie, we get a Sinestro putting on the yellow ring.
Yes.
And we don't even get that. We don't get Sinestro versus Hal Jordan.
Or later on, we could have seen the core, Sinestro core.
Yeah. I'd rather just scrap that shit. Like, take Green Lantern, just scrap that movie. Make it non-existent. Just what, like, Ryan Reynolds did in Deadpool. He shot it. Okay? Let's bring in, what's his name?
Ted Kord?
No.
Green Lantern.
No, the black guy.
John Stewart.
John Stewart. Jesus, it was in the top of my tongue. Let's bring in John Stewart because he's actually one of my favorite Lanterns because, you know, like, I feel like, you know, his demeanor and his will power was, I think, way more focused than Hal Jordan's.
I thought you liked Jessica Cruz, too.
Who?
So that's a no. But yeah, with Green Lantern, I can totally agree there. We are actually getting a Green Lantern series, if I recall. I don't know if it's... I don't know when exactly it's happening, but it is on the docket. It is on the dossier. It is on the roll of death.
Pray they don't use a stupid digital costume.
Yeah,
we'll see what's gonna happen.
The guy that played Black Manta should play John Stewart.
Is it Green Lantern? Is it Green Lantern in the Superman movie too?
He was supposed to be, but the studios told Zack Snyder to pull him out. Because they were bringing in a Lantern movie, an animated movie, and I meant
the new one, James Gunn's
version.
Isn't there a Green Lantern in that?
I believe so.
I'm not 100%, but probably.
Yeah, Superman Legacy. Yeah, I believe so.
I think there was a lot of those people were cast in there. It's going to be a whole hodgepodge of superheroes, which makes sense. A lot of people always want to be Batman. Yeah, should just be a Batman film.
Nathan Fillion is playing Guy Gardner.
Superman should just be a Superman film, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? You should have these characters play these certain things, and that's it, and there shouldn't be anything else in there. I disagree. In the comic book world, how many times on a cover of Superman have you seen another character that guest starred? A shit ton.
Yeah.
How many times have you seen a guest star on Batman on a cover? A shit ton. It just happens. It's just the way it is. Just accept it, enjoy the ride, and hopefully it's a good ride, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Nathan Fillion's going to be playing Guy Gardner. So, yes, you will get a Green Lantern.
Okay.
And a Metamorpho, too.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. And maybe a Plastic Man. We're getting a Mr. Terrific as well.
Get a Hawk Girl.
We're getting a Hawk Girl. Yeah, there's a whole load of characters that are coming down the pike.
And Ms. Tessmacher is going to be in it, just like she was in the original movie.
You know who I want them to bring in the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Who?
Gladiator.
Oh, you know what's funny? I was just watching the X-Men animated series where he picks up and jacks up a Juggernaut.
Yeah, he picks him up and throws him across
the river. Just toss him to the other side of the world somewhere.
Yeah, Juggernaut socked him and it just did nothing. And he just grabbed his hand and threw him across the lake like nothing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's basically a Superman.
He's a Omega Threat level.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
No doubt. But then again, absolutely. Marvel has all those Superman type characters, the Sentry,
yeah.
Which they're trying to do first. You could obviously, you know, that's what they were trying to do.
I think they need to, like, you know, stay focused and figure out who's going to be Dr. Doom because
that's important. That's important. Yeah. You got to cast Dr. Doom properly.
Me personally, if I was Marvel, I would be hitting up Henry Cavill to be Dr. Doom. Because the way I saw him become a bad guy in Mission Impossible, bro, I think he could be a really good Dr. Doom.
You think he'd be a good Victor Von Doom? Really?
Absolutely.
I don't think it's a terrible choice.
I think he could.
Not my first, but I don't think it's a terrible choice.
Who would you pick for Victor Von Doom? Can't pick yourself.
Susan Sarandon, probably. She did a really good job.
We get Beetle Sally movie. Fields in there while we're at it.
Playing Ted Kord's sister.
Oh, God.
Ted Kord's evil sister.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dude, that dude that he would be a really good Ted Kord. The guy that I forgot his name that you said that was his voice, right? From the.
Jason Sudeikis, I believe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could totally see him be Ted Korg.
Yes.
Who would you like to see?
That'd be a great choice.
Who would you like to see as Victor Von Doom, Kevin? If you had a, you could pick somebody, you know.
Gosh, I'm trying to think who would be a good Victor Von Doom. I'm trying to imagine someone playing the voice. You know who wouldn't mind if he was younger? Sean Bean.
Sean Bean, the guy that gets killed in almost every freaking movie he's in.
If he was younger, like a younger.
Okay. Person. No, I like that. I think Victor Von Doom could be a little older. Pedro Pascal, he's looking like he's in his 40s or 50s. I mean, we can get an older.
Yeah. His 40s.
James Bond. Or well, not James Bond, Victor Von Doom.
We don't know what direction they're even going to go in the Fantastic Four film.
It's supposed to take place in the 60s.
60s?
Yeah, it's supposed to take place in the original 1960s where they originated.
Okay. Well, I'm definitely going to give it a shot, you know? Since I gave the other one a shot that was just straight, like,
poo-poo.
Garbage. It was straight caca.
Well, hopefully the fourth time, pun intended, is the charm. Because this would be the fourth iteration of Fantastic.
Well, like I said, like,
yeah, you know, technically.
The first two weren't bad. They just made simple mistakes, like ruining the greatest, you know, Marvel villain in history and turn him into a rain cloud. Like, I couldn't believe it. Mm-hmm. Because I had high hopes, like, because remember when he's like passing, was it Jupiter? And you see his crown. I'm like, oh, shoot. And then all of a sudden we see a rainy cloud and I'm like, why?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
I swear, if I ever meet the guy that decided to do that, he's going to get easily.
Pow, bang, right in the kisser, right?
Yeah. A dingity, dingity, ding.
Yeah, you know? I agree.
Well,
I agree.
Well, with that, we thank you, brothers and sisters, for listening in on this audio podcast. Please subscribe. Please leave a like. Please tell your friends. Please tell your enemies about The Real Short Box. We have a lot of fun here. We have our Monday live streams.
We try.
We also have wonderful advertisers like Half's Hot Sauce. Has beautiful, tasty sauce. And you can get it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Delicious sauce. And then Splattered Frog Beer Brewing Company. You can.
You had to say sauce and then splatter.
Such deliciousness.
Sauce. Oh, get a room, guys. I'm just trying to wrap this up. You're taking forever. You're searching for words. You're stumbling on yourself. Let's get moving. Have a great night, guys. We don't see you out and about anytime soon, that is. Perhaps we'll see you
at a mysterious, but always lovely and sometimes quiet comic book shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.